Good morning, Rock Church. How are we doing? Good. Y'all excited? Good. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to those watching online. Happy Thanksgiving. If you're a visitor, welcome, welcome, welcome to visitors here. We always have Thanksgiving. It's usually a great time where we all sin, right? Because you know gluttony is a sin. And we all eat until that point where we know we shouldn't be eating anymore. One year I ate till my body was numb. Have you ever had that, experienced that, where your body just starts tingling? No? Y'all need to eat more. But Thanksgiving also is a time where, you know, you have family, you have friends that come over, and we all have that aunt or that uncle that comes over, and you kind of like, do we have to invite them this year, right? Or you might be that one and you don't even know it. But, you know, I love that time of Thanksgiving. And today we're just going to be talking about really giving thanks. I wish I could just go around and have everybody stand up and, you know, give, you know, something that you're thankful for. But we won't do that. So as we begin, you know, we've been starting out on our knees. So if I can ask all of you to get down on your knees as we pray. So, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all those that you brought here today, Lord, whether they're regular attendees or visitors, Lord, those watching online, we thank you for them. Lord, I thank you for your word. And, Lord Jesus, I pray that your word will speak clearly to those who hear it this morning, Lord. I pray for the furtherance of your kingdom. I pray for ministries to continue to go forth, for Toys for Joy, Lord, for thousands of toys to pour in so that these kids could receive a toy, Lord Jesus. But we know that Toys for Joy give them so much more than just a toy. So, Lord, bless today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, my name is Darren Carrington. I'm the marriage and family pastor here at the Rock Church. I've been here at the Rock. Woo! I've been here at the Rock Church for 12 years. So I'm a dinosaur here at the Rock Church. And I have three kids. I married my college sweetheart. We've been married for 20 years. I have three kids, a 23-year-old, a 19-year-old, and a 15-year-old. And my life has changed. As I've gotten older, my life has changed. How many of you are 40 or over? 40 or over? 40 or over. Represent. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. How many in your 20s? Where is it 20s? 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 Not a lot of 20s because they don't get up this early, right? It's like, nope, I'll go to 12 o'clock. About 30s? Yes, yes, yes. 40s and over, definitely have more energy. But what I've noticed about me is as I've gotten older and have matured, I reflect more on life. I kind of sit back and reflect more. I'm more thankful for things. I even ponder now. I've never really been into pondering, but now I am. You know, I talk to myself. My daughter's sometimes in the car with me, and I'm talking, and she's like, Dad, who? Who are you talking to? And I say, the reason why I talk to myself is because I know that I will always listen. So as I have kind of, you know, you look at life, and as I said, I reflect on my thoughts. One of the things I kind of really reflect on is I look at and I say, all of the things that I'm thankful for, like the simple, it's really like simple stuff that I'm thankful for that a lot of times we take for granted. You know, I'm thankful for my wife and my kids and parents. I'm thankful for the military. Right, I'm thankful for the military because, amen, amen. I don't know how you go away from your family for 6, 9, 12 months. I don't know how you do that, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the law enforcement. I'm thankful for all these things. I'm thankful for the Rock Church. I'm thankful for the Rock Church. Because I don't know if you know it or not. I don't know if you know it or not. Sunday is the most segregated day in America. It is. You go to churches. Churches are really usually defined by what? Oh, I go to the, oh, you go to the black church? Oh, I go to the white, oh, I go to the Chinese church. Oh, I go to the, and when you look at this right here, man, I love this. Because we got everything, right? What I love about the Rock Church as well is the Rock Church is not just about us coming together and hanging out in a building. Outreach ministries, however you're lost, man, we're going to find a way to come to you. We have, you know, an incredible youth ministry where the pastor, he's been here for a long time, pouring into young people. We have a great children's ministry. We have a wonderful marriage and family ministry. And really the reason I bring those up because those are core ministries where a lot of churches, for some reason, they feel like those things are not important. So those simple things, I'm truly thankful for the epiglottis. I love to eat, and without the epiglottis, I wouldn't be able to eat. Y'all don't even know what the epiglottis is. 40 and over, you know what the epiglottis is. Everybody else doesn't. Epiglottis is a small flap that goes over your windpipe. So when you eat, it doesn't allow the food to go down your windpipe. It allows it to go down your esophagus so that you can enjoy your food. If you didn't have it, every time you ate, you would cough it up. Here's another thing I'm thankful for. I am so thankful that God doesn't allow me to say everything that I'm thinking. Come on. I know, be real with me, come on. Could you imagine everything you thought, you said it? You would have no jobs. No one in there would have a job, right? Everyone in there, if you were in school, you'd be expelled. People wouldn't be married, right? It'd be complete chaos. So all of those simple things I'm really, really thankful for. And as we look at God's word this morning, I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke. Luke, everybody, raise your Bibles up. Word. Luke 17, verse number 11. And as we read through this passage of scripture, I want to continue to mention things that I am truly thankful for. But today we're going to be talking about, and some of you have heard it, today we're going to be talking about a story called The Ten Healed of Leprosy. And as this being a message of thanksgiving, we're going to call this The Thankful Leper. Okay, The Thankful Leper. Now, leprosy, we don't really know what leprosy is in today's time, but leprosy was a horrible skin disease. It kind of changed everything about the way you looked. I mean, you swelled up and it was pus and it just was disgusting. It was incurable. You were outcast from everybody. You couldn't be in society. They would take you away from your family, and you had to stay in this one area. Okay, you had to stay in this one area of town. Terrible. All those you love, you couldn't see them because you had this incurable disease. And what they thought is they said that leprosy was because of sin. And there was no way to cure it. But let's take a look at this story. We'll read this story and then we'll go back through it. It says in verse 11, as Jesus continued toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. One of the things that's, as we go through this passage, and as I talk to you about leprosy, the closest thing that I can equated to is I had a good friend of ours that I grew up with. His name was Cecil. And Cecil had contracted HIV. And this was back when HIV had just, you know, kind of come on the scene, so people didn't really know. And I can remember me and my mom going to see him. And my mom asked, you know, he was in the last days, and my mom asked, you know, what can we bring you? You know, what can we bring you to just, you know, just help you to, you know, just, you know, last will and testament. And Cecil said, Miss Beverly, could you bring me some of them fried chicken wings? But I can remember we went down this hall and then another hall, and it was just dark and nobody was over there. And there Cecil was in the bed all by himself, almost in a wing that was all alone by itself. Terrible, horrible. This is what leprosy was about. And sometimes, and when we look at these lepers, it kind of looks like, or it's seen as, well, we don't really have a lot in common with these lepers. But we all had a disease that's incurable, sin. Money, fame, fortune, that didn't cure that. It was only one thing that cured sin, and that's Jesus. But as we look at this story, it says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border of Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What was interesting is that the lepers knew exactly who Jesus was. It always trips me out when I read the word and lepers knew who he was. When demons knew who Jesus was. And then the crazy thing is, the disciples would say, who are you? It made no sense. They showed him the ultimate respect, because if you were a leper, you couldn't be within 6 feet of someone. And if you were around people, you would have to say, unclean, unclean. Do you imagine that? Unclean, unclean. You would have to say that over and over and over again. And what the lepers asked is they didn't say, Lord, heal me. They said, Lord, have mercy on us. Meaning that God's mercy, it was good enough. No matter what, it was good enough. Lord, whatever mercy you have on me, that is good enough. And then the word says, they cried out to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priest. The priest, if there was a leper or you had a sickness, the priests were the only ones who would examine you, and then they would be the ones who could say, yes, you are fit to go back into society. Now, I'm assuming, I don't know for sure, this is my opinion. My opinion means, except when I have the mic and I'm in my house, right? But I'm assuming that this physical wasn't like your normal physical. This physical was like the 40-year-old physical. And if you're 40 years old, guys, you know what I'm talking about. It's a little bit different, right? It's a little bit different than a stethoscope, a little bit different. It's like, Doc, why are you putting on that glove? Yeah. So he was asked. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, the leprosy was cleansed. Now, another thing that's interesting is, for some reason, Jesus has got a bad rap. I feel like Jesus gets a bad rap. See, Jesus sometimes has a unique way of healing. So even if you don't understand, just follow what Jesus tells you to do. But the reason why I say Jesus has a bad rap is because people are rarely turned off by Jesus. If you hear people, they'll talk about, oh, I don't like religion. Oh, I'm not really into the church. But people are rarely turned off by Jesus. Nobody else would come into contact with lepers. Jesus was... To me, Jesus seemed like he was a cool guy. Like he could just hang out. It wouldn't be all awkward, right? Because, you know, he just walked on water. He wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be awkward. It would be, you know, man, this is Jesus. And Jesus, he could kind of flow. I've met atheists, but I haven't met any atheists who got to know who Jesus was, who fell in love with Jesus and said, based on the Bible, I don't believe the Bible. I've met atheists, and I call them circumstantial atheists. Circumstantial atheists meaning that there are events that have happened in my life, and if there's a God who says that he is loving, there's no way that he would allow those things to happen in my life. That is a circumstantial atheist. My challenge, my encouragement is that to get to know who Jesus is, get to know him intimately, fall in love with him, and then you come to a conclusion. Then you come to a conclusion. So Jesus sometimes had a unique way of healing people. For example, if you notice, he told the lepers to go show themselves to the priest. They wasn't healed. When he told them to go, they wasn't healed yet. It was, as he said, it says, and as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. So they had faith. The word of God says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They're going along the way. They have leprosy. They like taking a chance. Like, you think anybody sees us? I don't know. And then all of a sudden, just like, man, cleanse. The blind man. Jesus could have just said, see. Right? Why would he spit in the ground? Spit. Mud. He healed people all different types of ways. The one thing I want to encourage you in is that don't allow your lack of understanding prevent your obedience. Don't allow your lack of understanding prevent your obedience. Sometimes if we don't understand it, then we're not going to do it. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. God may ask you to move first. You're praying, and the Lord says, okay, yes, go. What do you mean, go? Go. He told them, you cleanse, go see the priest. They wasn't healed yet. God may be telling you to go and do something. And you feel like, well, I need a sign. Okay, I'll show you on the way. Ha. But no, go. I'll show you on the way. Verse 14, we keep reading. It says, they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Healing is a two-part process. Healing is a two-part process. The first part and the most common is the physical. We're all about the physical, right? And as soon as we know we physically healed, then it's kind of like, okay, we're good. I'm good. You're good. I got healed. But here's the thing. If you just focus on the physical, I mean, that's temporary. It's temporary. Because everybody that was healed, man, they died anyway. It's really about the second part is the spiritual. Okay? The second part is the spirit. And that's where the relationship takes place. Because that is eternal, right? It lasts forever. One thing that I'm thankful for is I'm thankful for God's word. Could you imagine what life would be like without the word of God? Could you imagine? I'm thankful for his promises. I'm thankful for absolute truth. Could you imagine there was no absolute truth, which is what they're trying to teach, right? They're trying to say there's no absolutes, which is an absolute. Makes no sense. They're trying to say there's no absolutes. But could you imagine if life was about relativity? Meaning you do what feels right to you. Ha. So that means that I can do whatever I want because it felt right to me. This is what society is trying to teach. If you're at your job and your boss gets on your nerve, you can go up to your boss and slap the taste out of their mouth because that felt right to you. Right? If you're driving on the freeway and the speed limit is 65 and you drive at 95 and the cops pull you over, say, sir, you know you were going 95? Yeah, because that felt right to me. It's not about that, right? It's about, I love that we have the word of God, and this is absolute. This is the absolute truth, word of God. Thankfulness is not just about the forgiveness of sins, but your thoughts as well as what you're capable of doing. Your thoughts as well as what you're capable of doing. Jeremiah 17:9. A verse that you've heard. It says that the human heart is most, everybody say most. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? How many of you know somebody that's deceitful? Anybody? You don't want to raise their hands like, I don't want to really, nobody to know. How many know somebody that's deceitful? The heart that we have in our bodies is most deceitful and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Thankfulness, the reason why I say thankfulness is not just about the forgiveness of sins, is because if you focus on the things that on just your sin of thankfulness, and let's say that, you know, you can get into a flow where you know things are going good, right? You know, you're raising your Bibles, you know, saying word in church, and you're in a community group or life group, and you know, you really on it. You're praying every day, you're doing your devos. When you see people from the Rock, you say, "Who's the man?" Right? You got it going. You got it going. You can have a sense of, like, I kind of got this going pretty good. Like, I don't really need God. That's a dangerous place to be. That's why we have to understand, you have to focus on the total depravity of man. That there is no way that we can get to God. There's no possible way that we can get to God. We are that sinful. Our heart is that deceitful, that wicked. One of the shows that I watch is Lock Up. You ever watch that? People are like nervous. Like, I'm not saying you were on Lock Up. I'm just saying that I watch it. And you know, I mean, some of those men and women, I got to be honest, I'm glad that they locked up. Some of them is crazy, right? But one of the things that I always look at, right? As I said, you know, when I watch things, I watch it differently now. Like when I see candy now, I don't see candy, right? And I even probably 10 years ago, it all changed, right? When I started taking my kids to the dentist, so they would ask for candy or ice cream, and I'll say, "Oh, you sure you want that root canal?" See things differently, right? I've gotten older, right? It gets expensive. But one of the things that I noticed on Lockup is when you see these people, they weren't always like that. When they were born, they were just a little innocent little baby. They weren't always like that, but through their life, through circumstances, different things have happened, and they became capable of the craziest sin, the craziest crimes. A lot of you probably feel like, man, I am far away from that, but they say that we're all just one instant from going over the deep end. And what is that? That's about love, mercy, and grace. Love, mercy, and grace every single day. How many of you get road rage? Let's be real. Come on. Come on. I know we're in church and, you know, nothing's going to happen to you, but how many of you road ragers? Any road ragers in the house? Any road rage? How many of you ever follow somebody? Yeah. I don't follow people, but I will give you some horn in a minute. I'm not joking. I think it's a New York thing. In New York, a horn is just a part of, you know, part of way of saying hello. Hey, what's up? Right? But I will give you some horn, and not just like the cute, you know, beep, beep. No, two hands, stiff arm, 3 to 5 seconds, just to let you know, yes, I'm blowing at you. But have you ever, right? This is how much we need to love, mercy, and grace of Jesus Christ. Have you ever had this feeling, right? And you just wanted to say, "Lord Jesus, I need to go take care of this. I'll be right back." Any of y'all ever felt like that? Huh? Come on, y'all. Okay, all right. Maybe with your wife, you know, okay, we'll skip that. Maybe with your kids, right? Your kids, ooh. Or road rage or at work. You say, "Lord, I'll be right. I promise I'll come right back. But I just need to take care of this."
Let's keep reading. It says in verse 15, it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back shouting, Jesus, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. We need to invest the same or more efforts in thankfulness as we do when asking for stuff. Right? We'll pray, we'll fast. Prayer partners, yes, Lord, I just need you to pray for me. But then when God heals, God delivers, do we pray and fast again? No. Why? Well, maybe sometimes we just forget, right? I just forgot. You didn't forget to ask, but now we forget. We got what we wanted, right? That nature. Once I get what I want, man, I'm good. We feel entitled. When things are right, sometimes some people, they feel entitled. God should heal me. I mean, I've been giving, I've been doing all these things. Yeah, God should. But here's one of the things that we have to be mindful of, is that Jesus Christ, for whatever reason, has trusted errant, fallible men and women with his word. He knows that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, and he still allowed us to partner with him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you not allowing, if you have white furniture and so you open the door and there's a person that's outside the door and they say, hey, I'm hungry. I just need some time just to sit down. And they're just nasty. They got oil on them. They got vomit on them. They got pig slop on them. They got just, you name it, whatever house, the smell is ridiculous. You wouldn't say, oh, yeah, come on in, sit down on my white couch. But that's what we are. And Jesus said, come on in. I got you. The one who came back, right? The one who came back, I think he compared his old life to his new life. And he desired more than just the physical. But look how cool Jesus is. Jesus asks, right, like he didn't know, right? Jesus says, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? The one that was least expected? The one that was least expected? No one else returned but this foreigner? Thankfulness can't be limited to what he did for you today, but what he did on the cross. Not just for what he did today, but what he did on the cross. Romans 5:6. It says, Romans 5:6, when we were utterly helpless. Everybody say helpless. Everybody say helpless. Y'all have babies, right? You see the baby, you see little babies. Babies are helpless. They can't do anything but poop and eat and cry. They're helpless. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people will be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God, everybody say, but God. Say, but God. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us once we got our lives together. Does your word say that? The word says, no. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners. I thank the Lord. I'm thankful for the death on the cross. I thank you that he rose from the dead. We're the only ones that can celebrate Easter. Christianity, the only ones that can celebrate Easter. I thank him for the Holy Spirit. I thank him for the Holy Spirit. Continue to read. 17, it says, Jesus asked, didn't I heal the 10 men? Didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. When the focus is only on the physical, the best part is missed, and that's the relationship with Jesus Christ. See, success is overrated. Just that physical healing is overrated. We all want to be part of something great, right? We all want to be part of something significant. Hey, how many of you saw the Auburn-Alabama game last night? Huh? That was exciting, right? Yes. Hey, how about last week? How about them Ajira Tutu? Huh? Y'all didn't even know what Ajira Tutu was, right, until he caught that pass. Ajira Tutu. But here's the thing. That was great. Yes, Alabama, Auburn, loved Auburn, beat them. A year or two, yes, Chargers, go Chargers. It didn't change your life. It's fun, it's cool, it didn't change your life. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity, and I said I love the Rock Church. You have an opportunity to be part of something special, right? Something special. How is that? The something special thing that we have here, I think it's amazing, is our Pervasive Hope campaign. I think that's amazing. I think that's amazing. You may look at it and just say, well, yeah, just want money, money, money. But no, this is about changing lives. This is bigger than Auburn, Alabama, a Jira Tutu catching a pass. This is about changing lives, changing those people's lives, the young people's lives in Haiti, having more outreach ministries, having another church in South Bay. That's what this is about, the microsites, having a real impact and you being able to say, yes, I was a part of that. I was a part of that. Pervasive Hope campaign. I was a part of that. Not just to add another level on this building. No. I was a part of that. I was a part of changing people's lives. That's why Christ came. And you have the opportunity to be a part of that. As our pastor, he talked about it last week. And today, if you have pledged or you're still thinking about it, make sure you see someone, get a brochure, and be a part of something great. Be a part of something great. Every church, they don't have an opportunity for you to get involved in something like that. And then the last thing is, it's in a number of instances when the Lord healed, it was due to their faith. It was due to their faith. It said, your faith has made you well. In another version, it says in Jesus, in verse 19, it says, and Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you, or your faith has saved you. See, I don't know what happened to the other nine. I don't know if when they were walking and you know, the next day they woke up and they were lepers again. I don't know, right? I don't know. But what I do know is that this man's life was different. This man's life was different. And the reason why it was different, it was because of his faith. Okay, it was because of his faith. Now, one of the things that annoys me is when I go into a store, you know, and so, you know, I'll admit I'm a shopper, right? I'm glad that, you know, my wife is not a shopper. I am a shopper. My wife hates to go to the mall. I love to go to the mall. Like when I just need some stress relief, I'll just go into a store and just look around, love. I know, I'm in touch with that side. But one of the things that annoys me is when I pick up a hat or I pick up gloves or use this hat and gloves, you see the infamous one size fits all. How is that? Like, how could that be possible? The one size glove, how can a glove, my hand, and a little kid's hand, how could that fit? And then they try to switch it up a little bit. No, 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 okay. One size fits most. Well, the one thing about when it comes to salvation, Jesus, his love does fit all sinners. It is one size fits all. It is truly one size fits all. And one of the things I'm grateful for is that Jesus, he loves us and he accepts us just the way we are. Now, and because if you were joining a team or you're joining the military or you're joining, you're trying to get a job, there are requirements, right? There are requirements. Some of you have not gotten a job because you didn't have the requirements. There are requirements to walk with Jesus. There are requirements. The first requirement is you are required to have sin in your life. Everybody has that because the Word of God says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The second thing that hold people back is you are allowed to have doubts. Some people don't go forward. Some people don't say, you know what, I want that more than just that physical, I want that spiritual relationship. you are required to have doubts. There was one of the guys who hung out with Jesus, and he got the nickname. What was his nickname? Doubting Thomas. He saw all kinds of stuff. It's like, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead, and this is Thomas. I don't know. Y'all got friends like that, right? No matter what, they like, I don't know, show me. I don't believe you. Then there's another thing is you are invited to follow Jesus before you change. What? See, because religion says before you can join us, you have to change. But a relationship says, no, come and follow me. Come follow me, and you will change. So I want to take this time, because then people have overcomplicated it, and it's really not complicated, to look past the physical and say, I want this spiritual relationship. I want to go past this physical. Yes, I have sin in my life. I may have doubts. I may not believe everything. Your life is still the same, right? Matthew was a tax collector. People hated him. Everybody say hate. They hated tax collectors. Jesus walking around, Jesus said, Thomas, come on, follow me. He didn't say, hey, Thomas, clean up your life, give all the money back to the people, let everybody know that you're not a tax collector anymore, and then follow me. No, he said, Matthew, come on, follow me. And matter of fact, Matthew, you unfollow me, and tonight, not next week when you get, 4 or 5 days of Bible in you, no. Tonight, we're going to have a party at your house, and I want you to invite all of the other sinners, nasty tax collectors. That's the Jesus we serve. That's the Jesus we serve. So whatever it is that you've heard about Jesus, if there's anything, that's not who he is. He's not the things that hold us back. So right now, let's bow our heads. I just want to pray. For anyone who's saying, man, today is the day of salvation. You don't have to wait till 2014. It can start today. Say, dear Lord, please forgive me for, yes, I feel the requirement of sin. I have sin in my life. Lord Jesus, I've seen you do things in my life. But Lord, I want that eternal relationship. I want to see things differently. If that's you and you're saying, Lord, I want to follow you today. Your life doesn't have to change. If that's you, you're saying, I want to follow you today. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Because Jesus is saying, I want to accept you. I accept you just the way you are. God bless you. Just the way you are. Jesus, I want today to be the day of salvation. Lord, I don't want anything else to hold me back. Lord, I want to follow you in everything I do. Lord, I want you to answer the doubts, the disbelief. Lord, I thank you that you accept me just the way I am. Lord, I thank you that I don't have to change before I come to you. But Lord Jesus, I can come to you and you will change me. Lord Jesus, I want that. I want that relationship with you so that I can experience so much more in my life. If that's you today, stand to your feet. God is saying, you don't have to wait. It could happen today. It could happen today. If you stood to your feet and you said, I want salvation today, that today may be the day of salvation for me, and I want that today. I would ask you to come right down to the altar so that we can pray for you and we can welcome you into the family. You don't have to change your life. Your life could be exactly where it is. If that's you today, I would ask you to come down to the altar. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Bless you, brother.